This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, President Trump delivers his first speech to the UN General Assembly and warns North Korea of total destruction, calling North Korea's leader a rocket man on a suicide mission. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it, believe me.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Strong words from our president, President Trump, the president of the United States, as he makes his first address. All around the world, this will be followed. This was followed to the UN General Assembly, and there were some major themes. Obviously, North Korea and the threat it poses, not just to the region, the Korean Peninsula or Japan or China or Russia, who are in that region, but to the United States through our military base in Guam, Hawaii, the West Coast, the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Program, the test of those missiles, and the test of the nuclear bombs as well that have continued. We also have a new report that the U.S. is planning to potentially start shooting down all of the missiles that North Korea fires, even if they don't pose an actual threat to any country, just as a show of force that you will not be able to fire a missile at anyone. So you're wasting your time and your resources, and now you look foolish. So that could be a major change that kind of, I think, is part of the remarks today. But I want you to listen to the president. In his own words, what he says about North Korea and what he says about North Korea's leader. Take a listen.
No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
I tweeted after the speech, which I watched this morning, and I tweeted very clearly that I believe that the president delivered the UN General Assembly speech that the American people, especially those who voted for him, have been waiting for and waiting to hear from a president of the United States. Direct, strong, tough, but also compassionate. We'll talk about the refugee issue as well. We've talked a lot going back to November of 2015 about in-region safe zones for refugees. The president discussed that today, how that's economically a better option for everyone and a better option for those refugees. He discussed Israel. He discussed the Iranian nuclear deal and how bad, said it was an embarrassment to the United States. Of course, that was the Obama administration that got us to that embarrassment. Discussed even the socialism and communist regimes in places like Venezuela. But tough talk really focused in on Iran, and of course North Korea, and the sense that the UN must reform. We want to get your thoughts on it. Logan, give people a number to call in and also get involved online through social media.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's right, 1-800-684-3110. To have your voice heard. You can also find us broadcasting live online. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow, on Twitter at Jordan Sekulow, at JaySekulow, at ACLJ. You can find us broadcasting live there. And on Periscope as well, where you can see us and hear us and talk to us and get your comments on Facebook. We'll take some of those on the air. But like I said before, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, give us a call. And if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends and family. We're going to break down the president's speech to the United Nations, what it means. Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs, does a lot of work at the United Nations, will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast to discuss all of these points. It was a warning to the world. But there was also a moment the president made very clear that we're not trying to impose ourselves on you. If you're not a threat to the United States, you can go on, live your life, do trade, do business. But if you become a threat, as he said about Rocket Man, who's on a suicide mission, you'll be annihilated. We'll talk about it when we come back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
This bite, which may be overlooked by some in the mainstream media, but is so important because it encompasses what the United States is all about and what it means for freedom-loving countries around the world. Bite number 9, not one of the toughest lines, not one of the most divisive lines. If people that are complaining, oh, he's too tough on North Korea, which, again, how can you be too tough on North Korea with words? I mean, they treat their people, they starve them to death. They are a nuclear threat to the region, possibly the United States as well. You can never be too tough. And they're all sitting there right on the front row, those the North Koreans. But take a listen to this. It's another side of President Trump in these remarks. It was long remarks to the UN General Assembly. Bite number 9.
Strong sovereign nations let their people take ownership of the future and control their own destiny. And strong sovereign nations allow individuals to flourish in the fullness of the life intended by God.
So right there, that statement alone, to us as Americans, may seem kind of mundane and kind of normal rhetoric that we hear. But to the world, that's a powerful statement, maybe more powerful than some of the other statements, that people should be able to allow to choose and control their own destiny. Well, that's not the case in the Islamic world. For vast majority of people, unless you're part of the elite, and even they can't choose their own destiny, that is a show of strength for a nation to be able to allow your citizens to flourish in the fullness of the life intended by God. But then he went on, because I think this is important for an American president to remind all of these countries. We may not be the oldest country in the world, but certainly you all love our rights, our Constitution, and you've copied it many times before. Let's take a listen to Bite 10, because this is not usually what you hear from past presidents at the UN talking positively about the United States of America. I know, shocking, right?
We are celebrating the 230th anniversary of our beloved Constitution, the oldest Constitution still in use in the world today. This timeless document has been the foundation of peace, prosperity, and freedom for the Americans and for countless millions around the globe whose own countries have found inspiration in its respect for human nature, human dignity, and the rule of law.
And then I just to finish out kind of the discussion he had about his role as president and obviously a world leader, because the U.S. is the top world leader. But he then goes into Bite 13, because what is his first duty as President of the United States. And I don't think President Obama ever quite got this. He wanted to be all of us to be a citizen of the world. He loved doing his rallies in Berlin and being loved by Europeans. But what is the first duty of our government in the United States and our president, Byte 13?
Our government's first duty is to its people, to our citizens, to serve their needs, to ensure their safety, to preserve their rights, and to defend their values. As President of the United States, I will always put America first. Just like you, as the leaders of your countries, will always and should always put your countries first.
That line right there did get some applause. And again, it was one of those lines which, again, sounds, maybe you've heard similar language from President Trump, but not at the international level when you're speaking to foreign leaders and their diplomats. And that statement alone, also very powerful, that you are supposed to put your country first, not your dictators first, not your religious authorities first, but your country and its people first. You know, the president later went on and said the greatest threat to the Iranian regime is it's not even the United States. It's the Iranian people who have been persecuted and kept down by a brutal Iranian dictatorship that cloaks itself in false democracy. Let me go to Than Bennett, our director of government affairs. Than, we had a conversation. Maybe we could play the sound now about in-region safe zones. Can we go to that? Let's play this sound, because this is a policy we have been advocating before President Trump even became president of the United States. I have a blog up here from November 17th of 2015 in my hands that you can find on aclj.org. Five key policies on the current crisis. One of those is the in-region safe zones. Let's take a listen to President Trump, and then I want to get Than's reaction.
We seek an approach to refugee resettlement that is designed to help these horribly treated people and which enables their eventual return to their home countries to be part of the rebuilding process. For the cost of resettling one refugee in the United States, we can assist more than 10 in their home region. Out of the goodness of our hearts, we offer financial assistance to hosting countries in the region. And we support recent agreements of the G20 nations that will seek to host refugees as close to their home countries as possible. This is the safe, responsible, and humanitarian approach.
Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, we have been advocating this for a very long time at the ACLJ, that it is not really the best policy to have hundreds of thousands of refugees making trips all the way from the Middle East to the United States or to Canada or even to Western Europe, when you can create, and the president thanked countries like Jordan and Turkey, when you can create in region so people are close to their home, so when conflict is over they can return if there is a home to return to. If not, then you figure it out from there. But then it's much less expensive. It's much less extreme for the refugees because they're not leaving a culture that is completely unknown to them. And being, having to totally restart a life. And we've been advocating this for now over 2 years.
Jordan, it's also the only way, literally the only way you can address the refugee crisis in a meaningful way. And it's about time the president of the United States, in this case, President Trump, acknowledged the truth. Look, I mean, even if you want to set aside all of the security concerns, which we don't do, by the way, you're arguing about whether or not we should bring 50 or 100,000 refugees to the United States. Jordan, as you know, there are tens of millions of refugees across the globe today. And if we are to actually provide them real aid, not just a political point, not just a posturing to a leftist base, if we're going to provide meaningful aid, it has to be done in region. And quite frankly, the United States has to lead the world with the international community in doing it. We have been saying it for a long time, like you said. I cannot tell you how refreshing it was to see the leader of the United States go before the United Nations and tell the truth. If we're serious about helping refugees, Jordan, this is how it will happen, and I was so glad that he said it.
Yes, I mean, I think, again, I want to get people's thoughts on this and phone calls. Logan, any comments in? I'll give out the phone number, 1-800-684-3110, but were people able to watch President Trump's address? I know it was at 10 a.m. Eastern time, so a lot of people are at work. And,
well,
But if you were on the West Coast, maybe driving into your office. So, well,
June asked, how did the audience react to the speech?
Listen, it's tough to get reactions. I mean, you saw Prime Minister Netanyahu smile. We haven't gotten into the Israel portion of the speech by President Trump, but very strong words in support of the state of Israel. most of the reaction is very subdued, listening, taking notes. I did not notice a walkout, Than. I didn't notice any kind of disruption. Even from the Iranians, they kind of just took what he said. I didn't notice a lot of face reactions there, or from the North Koreans that were present as well. So again, I think he was treated with a lot of respect. Did get some applause about the nations of the world having their own right to self-determination, so long as they are not a threat to the world or to the United States of America. But then I think overall it was well received. But also, I'm sure, listen, when they start talking amongst themselves, they haven't heard anything like this in a long time, or maybe ever before, at the United Nations from an American president.
Well, there's two sides, Jordan. First of all, he was very direct on Iran, very direct on Syria. Of course, they didn't like that, probably appropriately so, but nobody did walk out. But I would tell you, and you alluded to this, but the fact that he got applause on essentially what is his America First philosophy, which has been very controversial around the world, I think that's very significant, Jordan, because what he did is he communicated that America First philosophy in a way that they all agreed with. He said, look, whether you're Iran or Syria or anybody else, I expect you to put your country's interest first, and I will do the same. And in that, we can still find agreement. Jordan, you know, it may not have been a rousing ovation. You don't get those in that chamber, but the fact that he got a smattering of applause on that very controversial for the rest of the world position, I actually think that was pretty significant.
Yeah, and then do we have the sound on Israel, guys? I think that we'll play that in the next segment of the broadcast, but I want to get to that, and then I really want to spend time on North Korea and then Iran. Taking your phone calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The president did not mince words when speaking about Kim Jong-un and the threat that regime poses and what the United States will do if that threat continues. That comes amidst reports separate from his UN speech that the U.S. is now potentially preparing to shoot down all rockets and missiles fired by the North Korean regime. Whether they pose a threat to land mass like Japan, a country, or not, in a show of force, and also to display the weakness of that North Korean regime to its people. We'll take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110, and Logan, your comments as well through Facebook and social media.
Yeah, that's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed. We'll take some. And awesome comments like Susan, who just said, I think safe zones are a great idea. And Jimmy said, safe zones are the way to go. So comments like that coming in on social media, you can be part of that conversation, Facebook and Periscope, or find everything related to us at ACLJ.org or download the ACLJ app available in the App Store.
Strong speech, lot to analyze. We'll do it when we get back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
All right, folks, I want to jump into some remarks the president made about Iran and Israel, and then we will, I think we need to focus primarily on, for right now, his remarks on North Korea. But take a listen to this. This is a direct, directly to the Iranians that were there today, Byte 15, President Trump at the UN General Assembly. This is his first address at the UN General Assembly, and the world's eyes, I guarantee you, the entire world was watching this speech and will be seeing parts of this speech throughout the day, throughout the week. Take a listen, Byte 15.
Rather than use its resources to improve Iranian lives, its oil profits go to fund Hezbollah and other terrorists that kill innocent Muslims and attack their peaceful Arab and Israeli neighbors.
So think about that. Again, that remark to Iran. This is in light of, remember, that next month the U.S. will have to decide whether or not to certify the Iranian nuclear deal for another year or not. And I think that this kind of language, I don't like reading tea leaves, and a lot can change diplomatically. And we've told you the complications. The U.S. could pull out. That would not mean the whole deal is destroyed, unfortunately. But that's just not how it works, because you've got other countries involved here. Certainly it would have a huge impact. But what the president laid out there is that Iran, the way it treats its own people, it makes all this money from oil and yet doesn't give it back to the people, doesn't spend it on infrastructure, better schools, better life conditions and living conditions for its people. No, it gives it over to Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations to kill innocent people. And who did he point out there? Kill innocent Muslims, who are primarily those who are caught up in this, and the majority who are caught up in this, religious minorities as well, and Israel. Now, he also said this about Iran in relation to the U.S. support for the Jewish state of Israel, Byte 26.
It is far past time for the nations of the world to confront another reckless regime, one that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing death to America, destruction to Israel, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this room. The Iranian government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy.
And it's absolutely true. Thana, let's take a phone call, Logan, and then we'll get some reaction from our team.
Yeah, let's go first to Dennis in Chicago. You're on the air on line one.
Hey, Dennis.
Hello, gentlemen. I just want to say that we finally have a president who sounds like an American, yeah, who's proud of America and says what needs to be said, and despite his comments about Rocket Man, is actually being very respectful to other nations, saying, look, we don't want to run your nation.
Right.
We want to work with you. We want to be friends, or at least friendly. And I haven't been able to listen to the whole speech yet. I've listened to a couple big parts, but I loved it. Anybody who complains about this, who is an American, they just need to just go somewhere else, because they don't belong here.
Well, listen, I think here we go, Dennis. I think to kind of an example there, listen to Byte 21 and then Byte 22 that follow, because the president is able to, one, talk up how he is working with the Islamic world to defeat radical Islamic terrorism. And you see the mainstream media and the left, they get so confused on this. How can you use that term and then work with Muslims? Well, the president's had a great success using it, because radical Islamic terrorism is a threat to the Muslim world. Take a listen to Byte 21 and then 22.
In Saudi Arabia early last year, I was greatly honored to address the leaders of more than 50 Arab and Muslim nations. We agreed that all responsible nations must work together to confront terrorists and the Islamic extremism that inspires them. We will stop radical Islamic terrorism, because we cannot allow it to tear up our nation, and indeed to tear up the entire world.
Folks, right there, this is what the left cannot understand. You can go from talking about working in Saudi Arabia, being there with 50 Arab and Muslim nations and their leaders, and agreeing that we must work together to confront terrorism and Islamic extremism that inspires that terrorism. And then the next sentence being, we will stop radical Islamic terrorism. Than, the left in America and the left throughout the world has just never quite been able to grasp that this is how you talk to leaders in the Islamic world, the strong men of the Islamic world, if you will, they understand that the radical Islamic terrorism is a threat to their governance and to their power.
Jordan, he communicated very strong policies on terrorism, and he did it in a way that is very difficult to argue with. I mean, when the last president went before this chamber, he refused to use, to call it what it is, radical Islam. This president did not do it, and yet he did it in a way that it made every reasonable country think that they needed to be with him. And I would just suggest to you, he didn't just do it on terrorism. He even did it on North Korea as well, because he made it clear that even at this moment, in the face of all the provocations, it is still Kim Jong-un's choice on which direction this goes. If he wants to change course, we will, of course, stand down. But if he does not change course, he will be totally destroyed. Jordan, I think the way he straddled both sides of that was masterfully done. The last president only chose the appeasement side. This president chose strength, but he did it in a way that invited other countries to our side as well.
Folks, I want to get your reaction to this speech. We're going to play more. What do you think about the president's remarks about North Korea? We're going to really focus in on that. Really, probably spend most of the second half hour on North Korea, because that is probably what is closest to a conflict in any part of the world, and a much bigger conflict than even what we're seeing in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. This would be very different when you're talking about the threat of nuclear weapons being used. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I think for everybody, do we want to play the Bite by 58?
Sure.
From President Trump? I think just giving people, I know it's tough to hear all these speeches. Most people don't have an hour to sit down. Here's President Trump again with a message to everyone at the UN. Take a listen.
The true question for the United Nations today, for people all over the world who hope for better lives for themselves and their children, is a basic one. Are we still patriots? Do we love our nations enough to protect their sovereignty and to take ownership of their futures? Do we revere them enough to defend their interests, preserve their cultures, and ensure a peaceful world for their citizens?
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Alex, who's calling on line three. You're on the air. Alex, you there?
Hi, I just want to say I was a 13-year Army vet. And,
thank you for your service.
I gave up a prominent career because I did not want Obama to sign my DD-214. This is a president that I'm proud of, and I would definitely re-enlist if I could. I've done stuff for our previous president that I would think that no American president would ever let us soldiers do. I'm so shameful of some of the stuff we've ever done. But this
is a
president,
Alex, and I appreciate your phone call. I appreciate your service to our nation and to our country. And I think, you know, overall what we're hearing is the powerful, people are proud of this president. Many who voted for him, this was a big stage, in a sense, a test. We know President Trump can deliver a speech, but this was not before a crowd of even Congress where you get applause. This is a pretty quiet, giant room and very serious in scope. When we get back, we're going to get into Rocket Man. We're going to get into the threat that President Trump posed to North Korea if they continue their program and threaten the United States or its allies, the total destruction of North Korea. So I want to get your calls on that as well. We will analyze it all for you on Jay Sekulow Live today. Plenty to unpack in a speech which covered the entire world and U.S. foreign policy under the Trump presidency. Logan, tell people how to stay engaged.
That's right. If you don't get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live on your station or broadcasting live right now for another half hour, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, on Twitter at Jordan Sekulow, and on Periscope. Be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
mean, it's a good song, but we're not just playing it for that purpose. Yeah. First, the president tweeted this, and it was a preview of what was to come in his UN speech. This will be probably the most controversial part of his speech. Some from the diplomatic world will say using these kind of names. Now, I mean, it's not name calling. He was describing a world leader and really what that world leader has been focused on for the last few months, which is firing rockets over sovereign territories and testing nuclear weapons. Here is President Trump. And I think we can have different opinion here, but I think when you're battling with crazy men, and that is what Kim Jong-un is, someone you cannot, we've talked about a lot, you can't get into rationality, you can't get into logic. You are literally dealing with people who believe they are God or God men. Then you've got to bring them down to the level of humanity for the world and for their own people. And by using these little quips at them, I think it does actually make an impact. Take a list of President Trump, Bite 39.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Let's see how they do.
And then let's just remind people, because now we're focusing on North Korea, what the president said about what the U.S. response would be to an aggressive North Korea.
No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Totally destroy North Korea. Than, this is very strong language. I want to get your reaction to that yet again, and really then we'll get some more phone calls in as well, but I want to get your reaction to that then.
I thought it was spot on, Jordan, and here's why. All of the North Korean dictator's advisors are telling him that he's God. This was President Trump reminding that dictator that no, in fact, he's not God, and the United States is far stronger, and if he pushes a conflict, he will be utterly destroyed. And just one strategic point, Jordan, I also thought it was very smart to mention the fact that Russia and China joined the sanctions, not because the sanctions are likely to work. We've been down that road on this broadcast many times, but it was important to remind China and Russia that they have also tried sanctions, and if indeed they do fail, and if indeed a conflict has been forced upon us, they will have an obligation to stand with us. I thought it was very important to include that in that section of the speech as well.
Yeah, this is a comment from Sandy. She said, what's the mainstream media saying about this speech? So it just obviously occurred.
Yeah, the speech just occurred. I think that there's a lot of focus on surprise on the tough talk. And, of course, mainstream media, I don't know that they'll have much praise for this president. They may like that he showed some restraint, positivity towards the world, laying out his worldview. I'm sure they don't like the Rocket Man comment. I'm sure they don't like the totally destroy and total destruction of North Korean comment. But that's why they're the lamestream media, if you will. I mean, you know, it's like enough with them anyways. I don't think the people who really care about these issues or care about what their talking heads have to say about a president who's actually running the world and his remarks to the UN. And in fact, what we're trying to do on this broadcast is really just lay out what he said, unpack it for you, and let you respond, because we think that's the best way to learn and understand the significance of this speech and really the coming together of President Trump's full foreign policy. Now, when we come back, we're going to be joined by another ACLJ analyst, Harry Hutchison from our policy team. Right. We're certainly going to get into more of the speech from the president and take a lot more of your comments. We really want to get into that discussion here, whether it's comments through Facebook and Periscope or your phone calls. I know people have been holding on. Keep holding. We're going to get to those calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, and people can stay active. We've got videos that we show during the break if you join us through Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Exclusive videos coming up in the break if you're watching online. If you're not, you can find us broadcasting live there right now. That's obviously at Facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter at Jordan Seculo, and on Periscope as well. You can also find it on ACLJ.org. Don't miss out. You get exclusive content if you watch online. And no phone lines are open right now. I was about to say phone lines are open. None are open, so it's a great way to get your comments in and to keep the conversation going. That's over on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with more on JSeculo Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
To Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are playing and really analyzing President Trump's remarks this morning to the United Nations General Assembly, his first time speaking to the UN General Assembly, and really laying out his foreign policy governing the world. He even mentioned the socialist communist in Venezuela and the problem there. Do we have that soundbite too? I mean, I think that the fact that he did not pass over issues like that, take a listen, because again, he talked about when you actually, it's not a failure. This is what communism and socialism look like. Take a listen.
The problem in Venezuela is not that socialism has been poorly implemented, but that socialism has been faithfully implemented.
Yeah, I mean, that is, again, a statement to many of those countries there, Harry, who have either leaned socialist or have tried to embrace communism. Not just in Latin America or in Asia, but even in Europe that embrace these kind of communist or socialist policies. And he, as the president said, these aren't failures. This is what it looks like in reality.
Absolutely. So the world, and in particular the UN, is not used to straight, direct talk. Instead, the UN is used to muddled communication that allows fail states to continue to fail their people going forward. Venezuela is a classic example. Syria is another classic example. And so President Trump has come to the UN and he's offered affirmative steps that would reform how the UN operates. But also he has issued warnings to rogue states like North Korea, and Iran, and I think that's very necessary.
Absolutely. You want to go ahead and get to calls?
Yeah, let's go to call.
All right, let's go to Greg. You've been holding a long time, Greg. Thanks, and Slidell, Louisiana.
Hey,
here,
Greg,
on the air.
After your comment, your statement, your question, hang on. We're going to send you a copy, a signed book for hanging on over 30 minutes to be with us today. Thank you, Greg.
Wow, awesome. Thanks. I just wanted to say that this was the greatest speech I've heard him make. I think this is one of the greatest speeches I've heard probably since Reagan. It's actually hearing nationalism in his voice was very refreshing, and actually calling out North Korea and Iran. Yeah, I mean, that stuff just doesn't happen. This guy was just incredible.
Brought up something interesting. I'll go to Than and then Harry on it, is that this was not just a speech about other countries, but it was a speech about how the president sees his job for his country first, that
his duty is America first. And yes, we want to, we have our allies that we defend. We have defended freedom and liberty. He talked about all the sacrifices our soldiers, our men and women, the armed forces have made throughout history, defending that freedom and defending it for others. The fact that we don't go in, we didn't beat Nazi Germany and then take over Germany. We didn't beat Japan and take over Japan. And that's not the way the U.S. works. So it's not like, it's not isolationist in the sense that it's, oh, we have returned once again, I'll go to Than and then Harry, to being proud. I mean, you could say it like this, being proud to be American.
Jordan, in fact, it was a clear argument that America first and a strong America is actually what the world needs and what its benefit really needs. I'll just tell you this. I've heard that kind of speech from your dad in that chamber, but never the president of the United States, Jordan. Just to kind of echo what you're saying, here's what the prime minister of Israel just tweeted out. In over 30 years in my experience with the United Nations, I never heard a bolder or more courageous speech. And I think he's spot on. I think the world needs a strong America, and Donald Trump communicated that in a way that we haven't seen a president do in a long time.
All right, Logan, let's go to the phones. I want to keep people taking comments in. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Pull some more of the bites from the president. We'll get some of that, some that maybe aren't getting as much attention as well. So yeah. I want to give you a full review. But if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Yes or no, do you support, did you like the president's remarks today at the UN General Assembly? Or at least do you like what you've heard so far on our broadcast and maybe in the news? Maybe you didn't get to listen to the whole speech. That's tough for most people. But we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Marilyn, who's calling in North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for the call. I want to say I agree with Greg. I think that's his name who just spoke. I believe that the speech our president just made was the greatest one I've ever heard him make. I thank God Almighty for a brilliant president who is led by God. I think President Compassion is shows not only strength, compassion for other people. He's a very much a people person. He's a people's president. But he shows a strong desire for peace. And the world knows this. I mean, the aura comes out. But something that our president shows that Obama and so many presidents have not shown is the strength. And there is power and strength in the type of aura that our president has. I just believe that He's one of a kind.
Yeah, well, he certainly is, Lynette, and is different than any president we've had in history, especially in the modern history where we've been able to watch the presidency so closely, whether it's in our living rooms, through Twitter, through Facebook, and through radio broadcasts like ours and 24-hour news cycles. But this statement I want to get your reaction to, Harry, from the president, bite number 12, because this is in direct, I think it's a direct contrast to how most, if not many, leaders around the world see what being a leader or think what being a leader of their country means. Bite number 12.
I was elected not to take power, but to give power to the American people where it belongs. In foreign affairs, we are renewing this founding principle of sovereignty. Our government's first duty is to its people, to our citizens.
So in much of the world, Harry, whether you're elected, whether you're a dictator, you believe that your job is to take power, not give power back to the people.
Absolutely. So in essence, Jordan, President Trump was putting American values and Western values first. It recalls his speech in Saudi Arabia in May, where he directly confronted terror, telling the Saudis and the Muslim leaders gathered there to drive the terrorists out. Then he went to Poland in July and defended courageously Western civilization. And now President Trump has gone to the UN and he's defended and continues to defend Western values and American values. And it's about time that the American people have a leader who is willing to stand up for the country rather than apologize for the United States and its constitution and the rule of law.
You know, our producer, Will, he sent me this, and I think it's exactly right. The key difference between the previous administration and this administration, President Obama, he offered every time at these international stages, but specifically at the UN, American apologies.
Oh, we have so much to apologize for. We've done so much wrong. President Trump offered, and I think that our Christian audience, I know we're on conservative talk as well, but our Christian audience will get this. Well, President Trump offered today American apologetics, why the American way is the best way. At the same time, we're not going to force you to do this, but we live it as an example for you. It's an example for the world that if they choose to follow, great. If they don't want to, that's okay. So long as you're not going to be some threat to the United States of America or our strong allies, then you will have your different cultures, your different creeds, your different experiences. That is all fine and good so long as you are not posing a threat. Now, what we have seen, though, is there are a couple of major threats. One is from radical Islamic terrorism. That best is shown right now through ISIS, but also through the Iranian regime. And then you've got the threat from North Korea, which is not a religious-based threat at all. But in a sense, it's kind of its own religion and its own faith. But there's that threat, too. Than, the idea that we can go to the UN and say nice things about our own country. I mean, I'm being quite honest here because we've done these speeches, Than, you and I. Just saying good things about America is new to the UN.
It sure is. And look, I take the refugee comments, the socialism comments, the communist comments, the Western value comments he made. When you couple those together, Jordan, what I see is a message of, look, the rest of the world, you don't have to necessarily be like the United States, but here's what you do need. You need the United States to be like the United States. You need the United States to hold true to our values. You may not agree with all of them, but our values communicate a world and secure a world where you can actually determine your own future. That's a message we have not seen in at least 8 years, and I would say it's been longer than that. I think he communicated it in a way that made the rest of the world think twice about trying to change America fundamentally, and maybe made the case we need to be like us in order for you to choose your own course.
All right, folks, we've got a lot to talk about in our final segment. We take your phone calls as well. A couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to take more comments on Facebook and Periscope.
Yeah, like Ray just put on, once again, our president is not a politician, but a leader. It's great. And Emma, who said, I watched the whole speech and thought it was awesome. So a lot of people are commenting. A lot of people really thought this speech was great. And the text threads we were on today, I feel like that's kind of a universal thought right now, that it was a very good conversation. Two lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard, this is a great time to call in. We're going to talk some more during the break. I'm not sure if we're showing a video or not, but we'll be definitely providing some exclusive content for those watching online. But once again, we have one line now open, 1-800, sounds like a telethon, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
phone call. And let me just say, I wanted to play this soundbite one more time because it, about President Trump and how he sees his job as President of the United States. And he is the leader of the free world. Byte 29, I think this may kind of put together exactly why he had such a strong electoral victory and appeal to American voters. Take a listen.
As long as I hold this office, I will defend America's interests above all else. But in fulfilling our obligations to our own nations, we also realize that it's in everyone's interest to seek a future where all nations can be sovereign, prosperous, and secure.
So I want to get everyone's thoughts on this now. We'll take some phone calls. Let me go to Than Bennett, then I'll go to Harry Logan if you've got some thoughts on the speech as well. I want to just give everybody kind of an opportunity, now that we've kind of covered it all, and we'll get to the phone calls in a moment. But Than, first, your reaction to the whole speech in its entirety.
Well, first of all, Jordan, my first reaction is a point you just made about the media trying to translate this. I think it is a minor miracle that the president communicated his America First position in a way that made the rest of the world agree with him, Jordan. I mean, He got applause for that line. I think that's very significant. Look, I think it was clear-eyed. I think it was direct. I think it was strong. I think it was a clear message to the rest of the world that the traditional posture of the United States has again been resumed. And again, Jordan, I said this at the outset, but I think if you look back on the first year of President Trump's term from a foreign policy perspective, I think this is the speech and maybe potentially some interaction with North Korea going forward. But to this point, I think this is the speech that we will look back on as the defining moment of that first year.
Harry.
I think Than is absolutely correct. I would simply add that in terms of my own reaction, my first reaction is that President Trump is a truth teller, and he doesn't rely on illusions like his predecessor. He called out, for instance, Venezuela. Why? Because it faithfully implemented socialism. He also called out the United Nations Human Rights Council, because this council includes many of the world's leading human rights violators. And it's important to note, Jordan, that over the past year, 20 out of the 24 UN resolutions have attacked Israel.
Of course.
And this is absolutely absurd that we would support an institution that has this disproportional focus on the only democracy in the Middle East. The president went to Saudi Arabia and he talked about Islamic terror, and he went to Poland and he talked about Western civilization. So he's direct, he's telling the truth, and I think many people in the United States are responding appropriately.
Yep, Logan.
My only concern with the entire speech is purely based on what time of the day it ended up in and whether everyone will get to see it. Because as we're looking at the news, we have the news on here. They're talking right now about the fact that he's considering having a military parade, something that kind of became an issue, not controversy. But was a interesting story that came up yesterday.
Instead of talking about
we're going to totally destroy North Korea if they come after, that's my friend. It almost should have been a State of the Union speech where everyone in America is tuned in watching.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, that's my only concern.
By the time people watch tonight, for the UN, yes. At the UN, because the world can watch.
Right, but for Americans.
For Americans, yes. And will, I think this is a good point. Check your news tonight and see how much time they actually give to this. Do they just play a couple of his most meaty sound bites, about destroying North Korea? And do they forget the part about refugees? They forget the part about the UN Human Rights Council, about the greatest threat to the Iranian regime being its own people who've been oppressed? And this, as we brought up at the UN Human Rights Council, Byte 47.
In some cases, states that seek to subvert this institution's noble aims have hijacked the very systems that are supposed to advance them. For example, it is a massive source of embarrassment to the United Nations that some governments with egregious human rights records sit on the UN Human Rights Council.
All right, so let's get right to the phones.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Lynette on line 4 in Long Island. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I pray regularly for all of you and wonderful staff.
Thank you.
And I think that this speech is just exemplifies all of the reasons why I, as a Christian African-American female, voted for President Trump. I voted for someone who I felt would be courageous, honest, consistent, and be able to speak truth to power, and also be able to really portray actual history and not history that's been rewritten or unwritten, as I call it.
Well, Lynette, you know what? In President Trump, you don't get an apologizer. You don't get the America leads from behind. He's not afraid to walk into these rooms and give the direct message. And I think, Harry, that's very clear. I saw you taking some notes there.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to note that the UN was born out of the blood-stained battles and blood-stained battlefields, I should say, of World War II. President Trump's speech is an attempt to return the United Nations to its rightful purpose. In addition to focusing on North Korea and on Syria and Iran, President Trump wants to reform the United Nations bureaucracy. The United Nations bureaucracy serves itself rather than the world's people.
Yeah, I mean, President Obama, if you ever go back and watch his speeches, danced around everything, tried to appease everyone. You know where that got him with his foreign policy? The rise of ISIS, a world on the edge, a potential conflict with North Korea, because you cannot appease all people, especially the bad actors. You never can appease them. But he never would directly engage. He always wanted to play both sides, and that's enough of that. And I think that's why the American people voted for Donald Trump. They're sick of playing both sides when it came to foreign policy. Logan, let's take another call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Cordell in New York on line two.
Hey, Cordell.
Good afternoon, guys. It's a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm glad to be an ACLJ supporter.
Thank you.
Throughout the years. I enjoy the fact that President Trump is not an apologizer-in-chief, as Harry said earlier. And you guys are a must-listen because I didn't get an opportunity. I'm still at work on my lunch break right now, in case anybody's listening. I didn't get a chance to listen to the speech, but I fully intend to listen to it later on.
Yeah.
He strikes me as a promise keeper. He has a unique, strong personality who is not intimidated by the others that are around. He's not couching his remarks in so-called political correctness, which, as we know, is just facsimile for a lie. He's saying things as they need to be said, and that's what we need. He is, Neville Chamberlain is no longer in place, and reference.
He talks in a way, Cordell, that people all around the world, even through translation, can clearly understand. He doesn't use words that mean 50 different things. He doesn't try to show off with giant words, which I'm sure he knows all of them. Highly educated, but he's able to talk to people around the world. He's talking to those Iranian people oppressed by the Iranian dictatorship. He's talking to those North Koreans oppressed by the North Korean dictatorship, hoping they may see some of those remarks. He's talking to the Venezuelans oppressed by communism. That is what is important to note here, is that this is a president who is not talking to just those top officials. He does that all the time, every day in his job. This was a message to the world and the world's people. And when you're speaking to the world's people, you don't have to couch everything in diplomatic terminology. He's not diplomat to diplomat. He was speaking to the world and to many, and I know this will probably be controversial to a lot of people, he was speaking to the oppressed people of the world and calling them the heroes of the world, the real patriots for their countries as well. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.